When he finally bowed his head, he who had given life now hung there dead.
Then his mother and some friends came to carry him away. They were trying to speak through a broken heart what only tears could say. The sunset cast no shadow on the world's darkest day, and with one last look they laid him in the grave.
But I talked to him today, and my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary he died, but right now he is alive. I know because I talked to him.
Mary Magdalene came breathless to the place where Peter lay. He was searching through his broken heart, trying to find the faith to pray. But as he heard her joyful story, and his sorrow could not stay, and his hope sprang up through the words he heard her say.
She said, I talked to him today, my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph through the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave to him today, that on Calvary he died, but right now he is alive. I know because I talked to him today.
Yes, amen. Thank you for that special. When God is big in our lives, we spend the day with him, other things just seem to fade away and seem small. Amen. Thank you for that special. If you would take your Bibles with me this morning and find the book of Hebrews, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then Philemon, and then Hebrews. And when you find chapter 12, if you'll stand to your feet with me as we read God's word this morning, Hebrews and chapter 12, I'll have you start off reading in verse number 5, and then I'll pick up verse 7. You'll read the odd number verses, and I'll read the even numbered verses, and we'll read responsively like that until we get to verse number 11. So we'll read Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. You begin there in verse 5, and I'll pick up in verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Let's read that together. And ye have forgotten unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you
as with sons.
But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence.
Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father
For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Our Lord, we do love you and thank you for a wonderful Sunday morning where we get to come to your house and be in your presence. We ask that you would meet with us this morning. Be with Pastor Becker as he brings the message. Lord, fill him with your spirit. Use him mightily, we ask. Lord, to help us draw closer to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Keep your Bibles open to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12. If you caught the theme of the verses, it's pretty clear. The Bible talks here much in the book of Hebrews 12 about chastening. That's probably one of the favorite subjects in the Bible that we would cover is about correction, or maybe not. Is anyone here that you love correction? Right? You enjoy it. Kids, you enjoy when your parents get on your case and punish you, tell you no. Anyone enjoy that today? I don't think so. The Bible talks about chastening here today as we'll look at from the Word of God, and the Bible talks about this chastening that comes from the Lord. In verse number 5, this is a repetition from Proverbs chapter 3. As you see it here, it says, "My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." I think about this in regards to a parent, and the verses here in the middle talk about a parent correcting their child similar to the Lord correcting his children. I think one of the most difficult parts of parenting must be correction, right? One of the parts, as you're a kid, you're like, ooh, I can't wait till I'm older and I get to correct my children. Then you're going to realize that is one of the harder things to do as a parent, to do that in the right manner and having the right spirit and being consistent with that. The correction is a needed part in our life, isn't it? It is, right? And I don't enjoy being told no, right? I don't enjoy being told that I was wrong. Anyone here enjoy that, right? Because we want to think that I'm right, don't you? We want to think I'm right and you're wrong. And that's what our pride says. That's what our flesh says. But we need the correction of God in our life. The Bible says the chastening from the Lord. The chastening that comes from God. See, chastening is to correct, to punish, and to teach. See, what the Bible does and what God says, that God brings chastening in our life. Why? For one big reason. Because we are sinners. Right? You realize that? Does your flesh ever want to do wrong? Right? Does your nature and your flesh ever want to do the wrong thing? All right, in our nature, when someone says, don't look over here, what do you want to do? You want to look over there, right? When someone says, don't open it, don't touch the wet paint. I don't know if it's because I'm a man, because I'm stubborn, or just because I'm a sinner. When it says, don't touch, what do you want to do in your flesh, right? You want to touch. You look in Genesis in chapter number 2, and God said, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely what? Die. Now, kids, think about this. If your parents said, if you do this, you are going to die. Your life is going to... Wouldn't you think twice about what you're about to do? Now, your parents might have actually said that. You said, if you do that again, I'm going to take you out. Like, that's it. But God said, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's a pretty very clear instruction, wasn't it? Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely what? Die. And what did they do? Well, Eve went over there and said, but it looks good. Okay, before you judge Eve, think about your sin nature, okay? Well, it looks good. And then your friend starts talking to you. And they say, well, if you jump off of this, you know, if you go and tell, I dare you, right? You ever get dared to do something with a friend? Many times the dumbest things you're ever going to do is with a friend. Someone challenged you to do it. Right? It's usually not by yourself, it's with somebody else. And Eve looked at it and said, it looks good. And the serpent, the devil's there and said, it's going to make you wise. It looks good and it's going to make me wise? Think about this as a child. What are my parents trying to keep me from? from all this good in my life. And Eve looked at that tree and said, it's going to make me wise and it looks good. And she said, you know what? I'm going to take a bite. What she forgot about at that time, all she saw was what she wanted, feeding the flesh, wasn't she? She's thinking about what I want out of this, and she forgot about the instruction and the correction that was going to come from the Lord. And Adam came, and he took from that as well, and God came to find them. And what were Adam and Eve doing after they sinned? Right? They were hiding from God. Why? Why, kids, would you hide from your parents? Why would you hide from your teachers? Why would you hide from the police? You know, probably because you're doing really wholesome and good things in your life, and you're obeying really good, and you're pleasing them. I mean, that's usually why you hide. No, they're hiding because they were doing wrong. And they were hiding from God, and God came to the garden in the cool of the day and went to find them, and they were hiding amongst the stuff. And they had tried clothing themselves, and God came, and he said, what happened here? And they passed the blame to others, and God had to lay out some punishment for them, didn't he? God laid out the punishment for Adam and for Eve and for the serpent and cast them out of the garden. And the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. I mean, I would think with that kind of an instruction and that kind of a punishment, you'd think twice about it, wouldn't you? But again, we have what's called a sin nature. And my sin nature, when you say don't do it, my sin nature, my flesh wants to do wrong, just as yours does as well, right? And God had to punish and to correct them because he said, the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And God will always keep his promises, won't he? He warned them beforehand, but they didn't listen. And then he corrected them. He is teaching them as well. See, we have a choice to make every day to do right or wrong, don't we? You have a choice. And many times in life we think, well, I don't know if it's right or wrong. It's kind of in the gray area there. You know, the Bible is very much of a black and white Bible, isn't it? Thou shalt and thou shalt not, isn't it? Very black and white, very clear what God says is sin and what God said is holy and what is right. You're going to choose every day to do right or wrong. But too many times my flesh wants to do wrong. My flesh wants to walk away from God. My flesh wants to look at things I shouldn't. It wants to listen to things that I should. It wants to go places that I shouldn't. And when I listen to my flesh, I get myself into a world of danger. And then I fall into God's chastisement and the correction from God. Many times we look at correction in our lives as a bad thing, don't we? We look at it, you know, why don't my parents like me? Why are they always out for me? Why is my boss always after my case? Correction is good. Amen? I need correction in my life. I need that correction from the Lord. I need that correction from authority. I need correction from my friends. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kiss of an enemy are deceitful. And I need correction in my life to stay on the right track. Don't you? Because again, my sin nature wants to take me the wrong direction. The Bible says, broad is the gate, right? That leadeth to what? Destruction. And how many people are going the wrong way? Few or many? And many which be, there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate. And narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. And few there be that find it. See, many are going that wrong direction. Walking away from God, not following the word of God. Many are going that way. You say, but everybody's doing it. Don't do it. It's popular today. Don't do it. You're going to fall under the correction that comes from God. I need correction in my life. Let me ask you this. What is your spirit towards correction? What is your spirit towards God's chastisement upon your life that we desperately need to stay on the right track? I want to give you a few truths today about the subject of correction. Number one is this: correction is a display of love. Realize that? Correction is a display and it's a showing of love. Many times kids would think, well, if my parents loved me, they'd let me do whatever I wanted to do. Right? If they love me, they'll let me do whatever I want to do. Parents, one of the worst things that you could do is let your child choose for themselves. I hate that. I hate it when parents say, I'm just going to let my child choose what they think is right. Your child doesn't know right from wrong. Right? Okay, think about all the things you're... As a parent, did you ever think you'd have to tell your children not to do things that they do, right? I never thought I'd have to tell them, don't eat off of the stuff off the bathroom floor. Why should I have to say that? Shouldn't that be a given, right? You realize that. See, parents, you realize this. If you love your children, you'll tell them no, right? If you love your child, you'll punish them. You'll correct them. Why? Because they don't know what decision to make. They go and play in the street. Well, that's dangerous. I've got to tell them, no, stop. I want to save their life. See, we realize this when it comes from God. We think, well, I don't like anyone telling me what to do. I mean, I'm an adult, right? No one tells me what to do. Yes, we need someone telling us what to do, don't we? I need to be under the instruction of the Word of God and I don't want to be under God's correction, but I know I'm going to get there. And it helps to correct the wrong to get me on the right track. It's a display of love. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, for whom, look at it please, for whom the Lord what? Loveth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. What's the next word? Every son whom he receiveth, the Bible says. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You're a child of God, God's going to correct you. You know, that's one of the greatest signs of being a Christian, being a child of God, is knowing that when I do wrong, when I get out of line, that God corrects me to get me back on track. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you love your child, you're going to correct them. You're going to teach them. You're going to help them to go on the right path because they don't know what direction to go. God gave you wisdom, parent. He puts you as the authority in your home so you can guide your family in the right direction. Amen? But I need God in my life telling me what to do. How dare we think no one tells me what to do? I'm my own man. I get to choose my own path. Well, that's foolishness. I realize this, when I get off out of line in my life, that God corrects me. That God corrects me. You say, how does God correct me? Oh, in a whole number of ways. Don't you know when you're being corrected by the Lord, right? Sometimes things come in my life, and you know, does it seem like sometimes everything wants to break at the same time, right? I mean, it all wants to just go down, you're like, Lord. And sometimes I stop, God, what did I do? Or what did I not do? That's a good thing, isn't it? To come before God and humbly say, God, where have I walked away from you? Maybe God is just allowing a trial to come into your life, but how many times is God bringing his chastisement and correction upon our lives because we're walking away from him? And he says, child of God, son, daughter, I want you getting back on the right path. And God sends his correction our way to get us back into following him. Correction is one of the greatest displays of love. See, in society today, we think correction is a bad thing. Society today, kids are raised to think that the authority is wrong, that they're the evil ones, that they're out to get me. Guess what? I don't have a problem with authority, right? My flesh wants to. You know what? You know when I have a problem with authority? When I'm doing wrong, right? When I'm not obeying the law, I'm going to have a problem with the authority enforcing the law. Amen? As it should be. And when I walk away from God, I'm walking into God's punishment and God's chastisement. God's going to correct me to try to get me back on the right path. God's love is shown in correction. God loves you enough to teach you right from wrong. God loves you enough to teach you right from wrong. God loves you enough to tell you the blessings of obedience and the curse and the punishment from disobedience. God loves you enough to give you the Word of God to teach you right from wrong. You think, well, how do we really know right from wrong? Just if you think it's right, do it. And if you think it's right, do it. And we all may disagree on it, but you have your own version of the truth. That's garbage. That's junk. Our society today is, you know, whatever your truth is. No, we have the truth. Amen? We have the truth in the Word of God, and God loves you enough and to tell you right from wrong. As you look in your Bible, as you look at the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, 8 out of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, or thou shalt have no other gods before me. 8 out of the 10 of them are negatives. Don't do this, don't go there, don't do that. Again, I'll go back to parenting again. Parents, how many times do you think you say no in a day? Right? Right? I don't even want to count, right? Too many. See the parents with younger children here are testifying for me, right? The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Why? Because God's saying, don't go there, don't do that, don't do this. Why? Because our flesh wants to go the wrong direction. Do you know the verse immediately before those commandments in Exodus chapter 20? In Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to turn there really quick if you'd like to go there as well. In Exodus chapter number 20, in verse number 1 and 2, before God gives the commandments, Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God said, I love you enough. I've delivered you from Egypt. I loved you enough. I'm bringing you to the promised land. But I'm going to give you some rules. I'm going to give you some instruction. Why? Because I love you. Because you're my people. Because you're my chosen people. I love you enough to tell you the truth. What is right and what is wrong. How to have my blessing upon your life. Or how you would have my chastisement, my correction upon your life. God loves you enough to give you His word. God loves you enough to warn you about hell. You realize that? God loves you enough to tell you if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity in a lake of fire, separation from God. That's God's chastisement. If you're in this room this morning, God has given you an opportunity to be saved. God's giving you an opportunity to escape the fires of hell for all eternity. You say, well, why would a loving God ever send someone to hell? A loving God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Amen? The God that loves us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, correction is a display of God's love. Do you see God's love in correction? You say, I didn't need that in my life, but God is correcting us to get us back on the right path. Because guess what? You're never too old to need correction, right? You're never too old to be told, no, you shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be doing that. Why? Because God wants to bring you into His love and favor and His blessings. He said, I'm your God. And God sends His correction in our lives. Correction is a display of love. Number two, correction is a desire for fellowship. It's a desire for fellowship. You ever had that child that is just having a rough day? That child that is disobeying and maybe has gone wayward and has been rebellious. They walked away from the truth. They're not listening to mom and dad. And what happens? That fellowship is strained, isn't it? Things aren't right. Not talking, not listening. Things aren't right. And see, a loving parent is going to try to help to restore the fellowship with that child to say, you've done wrong. I'm going to help to teach you what is right. And we're going to restore that fellowship again. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve disobeyed and God sent out the punishments for them, and what did He do? He cast them out of the Garden of Eden, didn't He? Fellowship had been broken, but God was working at restoring that fellowship. Even in the punishment that God was handing down to them, God told them, He said, through woman's seed, a Savior would be born. Amen? Even when God was giving out the punishment, He said, but I want to show you and tell you a way where you can have fellowship with me again. How many times in a day do we sin? How many times in a day do we walk away from God? How many times in a day is my spirit wrong and I'm thinking things that are not right or listening things that aren't right or my heart is away from God and God corrects my sin and said, I want to bring you back into fellowship with me again. Yeah. See, God wants to have fellowship with you, doesn't He? See, remember this, it says here, He said, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every, what's the next word? Son, whom He receiveth. I turned you away from Hebrews. If you didn't know that word, that's okay. He scourgeth every son. He says, hey, you're my child. Amen? Aren't you thankful that you're a child of God today? He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Aren't you thankful that once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God? You cannot lose your salvation. God will never kick you out of His family. You're always a child of God. Sometimes people think, well, I got saved, and then I walked away from God, so I need to get saved again. I've been out of church for a year, or I've gotten into deep sin, and you come back to church and think, I've got to get saved again. I must not be saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved. That relationship with God, that He's your Father and you're His child, that will never change. But you know what can change is your fellowship, right? Your fellowship, you say, God, I've not been walking with You like I should. I've not been listening to You like I should. I've not been following Your word. I've not been listening to Your commandments. God, I've walked away from You. And as you step back to God, draw nigh to God, and He will what? Draw nigh to you. God said, you want fellowship with Me? Ooh, I want to have fellowship with You. I want to spend time with You, my child. God has never walked away from you. But how many times have we walked away from God? And God wants to restore that fellowship. He didn't walk away. God's not the one that has sinned. We are the ones that have done that. It's a desire for fellowship, for God to restore that fellowship, that correction. Next, correction is a disdain for sin. God said, I'm going to correct you because that sin that you're doing, I hate. That sin is what nailed Jesus to the cross. That sin is what sends sinners to a place called hell. And God hates sin. One of the passages here in Proverbs chapter 6 says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination to Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and soweth discord among brethren. And God hates sin today, right? If you saw sin the same way that God saw sin, we would live differently, wouldn't we? Right? If you saw hell for one moment, you would look at that sin differently. If you saw Jesus Christ nailed to that cross physically, you would think about that sin differently. And God has a hatred for sin. Too many times we think, oh, it's just a little sin. What these six things that the Lord hate, and it started out with a proud look. We think, oh, all the bad sins in the world. And there's a lot of bad sins, but God starts with pride, doesn't He? And then He goes to lying. You think, oh, I don't have the bad sins like everyone else does. Hold on a second, time out. God hates the sin that I commit just as much as anybody else, right? God has a hatred for sin. God loves the sinners, but He hates the sin. Correction is realizing this. God does not accept our sin. So much of Christianity today is this, you know, come as you are, stay as you are, and, you know, God's okay with your sin. No, God is not okay with your sin. He's not okay with sin. God hates the sin, and God is going to correct and purge, and He's going to try to get that sin out of our lives. And that's why we need correction in our life. God has a hatred for sin. Why? Because God is holy. Amen? A holy God that cannot sin, that cannot lie. God has a hatred for sin because He's a perfect and a holy God. I believe God's greatest attribute is His holiness. His holiness, perfect. Never had a wrong thought, a wrong word, a wrong spirit, a wrong reaction. And God is trying to bring us to holiness. God is trying to bring us up to a place of holiness in our life, to having a hatred for sin. How do you see correction? If I see correction right, I'll have a proper hatred for sin as God does. I won't be accepting of my sin. I'll realize that God is trying to get some things out of my life so that I'd be walking in His obedience and His blessings. Lastly today is this, why do we need God's correction in our life? Correction is God has a desire to bless our lives. Amen? Anyone want to be blessed by God today? Amen? God cannot bless those that are walking in disobedience to His word. Right? God cannot bless those. He cannot put His stamp of approval and say, I'm going to bless you for doing wrong. Right? Children, you know this. I continue going back to that parent-child relationship, but when you are obeying your parents want to bless you. I know this as a parent. I could say this very clearly. I would any day, any moment of time, much rather reward my children than punish them, wouldn't you? I hate correction. You know, your parent, kids, when you get older, you'll say this too. This hurts me more than it hurts you. And the kids are looking at the parents going, I don't know about that, because this really hurts a whole lot. And as a parent, you think, I don't want to have to correct my children. But I want to teach them right from wrong, right? I want to, and guess what? And say, guess what? I look at my kids and say, I don't want to correct you. Say, I'd much rather go get ice cream with you, right? I'd much rather go play outside and have fun and reward you for doing right. And parents, we better reward our kids for doing right as well as punish them for wrong. Does God bless you when you do right? Oh, of course he does. Amen? And we should do the same thing as well with our young people. But God desires to bless your life. God desires to bless your life. I think of a man in the Bible named Jonah. And Jonah was told by God, I want you to go preach in Nineveh. Go and preach because they turned away from me. I'm going to destroy Nineveh. And Jonah the prophet said, Lord, if you want me to go that way, he ran as far the other direction as possible, didn't he? He had a command from God. God, as you know, the end of the story, that God blessed and souls were saved and turned back to God. But Jonah said, I don't want to listen to you, God. Did that go well for him? No, he ran from God. He ran to Tarshish. He went to the bottom of that ship. And the storms came and they're throwing everything overboard. And Jonah said, it's because of me. I've done wrong. And instead of getting it right with God, he said, just throw me overboard. He said, just kill me. And God, they threw him into the sea. And I think God said, you're not getting out of it that easy. Guess what? I've got another trick up my sleeve. And God sent the whale and come and swallowed him up. And Jonah went, well, now what do I do? You can't run from God when you're in the whale, right? There's nowhere else to go. And he was down there for 3 days and 3 nights and finally called out to God and said, God, forgive me. I'll go and I'll preach your word. And he spat him up on dry ground and he went running and he preached. He preached and they repented. Jonah was a disobedient preacher. He walked away from God and we could say, God, why'd you put me here? Well, Jonah, you kind of put yourself there. Jonah, that's kind of your own fault. Maybe today you walked away from God. Maybe today you walked away from God's word and you're trying to do things your own way and you walked away from the commandments of God and doing your own thing. And you say, God, why is everything always going so bad in my life? God's correction, right? Why are things, you know, why is nothing ever easy? Well, God wants to bless your life. It doesn't mean you won't have trials, but you know when you're being corrected by God because you've been walking away from God. Christian, today, God's correcting you. He's correcting me because he loves you, because he wants to bless your life. Maybe God is correcting you because of your sin and your need for salvation. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God tells us, in order to be saved, you must realize that you're a sinner. You must realize not only have you done wrong, but there's a punishment for your sin, and that's eternal separation from God in hell. That there's a punishment, and God says, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there, but realize that you've done wrong, that you deserve a punishment, but that Jesus Christ paved the way. He paved the way for you to have salvation, have a home in heaven. It's only through Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that when we deserve the punishment on that place to a place called hell, that God said, I'll take your place. Amen? We deserve to die for our sins. We deserve eternal separation from God and hell for all eternity. I deserve that punishment, but by God's mercy and by God's grace and his love, he said, I'll pay that punishment for you. If you by faith would turn to Jesus Christ and say, I believe that you are the only way to heaven. If it's your choice, if you want to spend eternity in a lake of fire, but can I tell you this, that would be a very foolish choice. There's no escape. There's no get out of jail free card. There's no getting out. There's no paying your way out, no matter what religions may say. It's forever. Do you want God's chastisement upon your life for all eternity? If you die, if you reject Jesus Christ, that's what you deserve. I know that sounds harsh, but according to the Bible, that's what you and I deserve. But only by the love and grace of God do we have the hope of salvation. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Do you know for sure that you're